KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action, stories of community service from the campus of Fresno State, with host Chris Fiorentino on Fresno State Radio, 90.7 KFSR.
Hello and good morning, or maybe better put, Yandra or Bulacia, which are both good ways to say good morning in Fijian, and that's appropriate for today's show. I'm Chris Fiorentino, your host for the next 30 minutes, and I'm very happy you've joined us today. Each week, we get to talk to the people who are making our community, and in this case, our world, a better place, and creating great learning opportunities for our Fresno State students. So what's the Fijian connection, you might be asking? Well, today, we're happy to welcome John Lawler, who came all the way over from England just to be here today. John is the CEO and the chief of MadVenture, community benefit agency that facilitates unique service learning experiences across the globe. Bulacia, John, and Vanaka, or thank you for being with us today.
Bulacia.
And joining John is a new Fresno State alumna, Kathleen Fagundes. Kat just graduated not too long ago, and I will refer to her by the nickname of Kat because that's how we all know her and most people know her. So Bulacia to you, Kat. Thanks for being here.
Bula, thank you.
So John, let's start with you. You flew halfway around the globe to be here, so we're going to give you the first up. You really did travel not too long ago to the States from England, and I guess Newcastle's your home turf in northern England. And so give a little introduction to yourself so people know who you are.
Yeah, I live in just outside Newcastle, a wee place called Corbridge up in the hills. And yeah, probably my fifth trip to Fresno now, but yeah, I run MadVenture, set it up 20 years ago. Talk about that in a wee bit. And yeah, so do a lot of traveling at Fresno about once a year and run a lot of projects and have a good life. I think I'm lucky.
Yeah. And I know MadVenture, this company that you run, really was created, it has its roots anyway, and sort of your own individual experience as a college student, trying to figure out what you wanted to do in life, and this gap year experience, I think the term you've used before. Can you tell us about your own experiences and how that blossomed into MadVenture?
Yeah, so I was a student at Newcastle University, and I just decided to take a year off. So I was doing environmental engineering and didn't want to be an engineer, didn't think I wanted to be an engineer. So I decided to take 8 months, went to Ghana, did volunteer teaching in a secondary school, and had a little bit of adventure there. And on the back of that, had such an amazing time. The village asked me to become a chief. So I took volunteers back from the capital, Accra. The village, asked if I wanted to do a job, which is development. And so that kind of kickstarted MAD. So 2 months later, after that 8 month experience, I flew back to Ghana. They installed me as Chief Tugby Mote the First, which stands for Grandfather, Chief Pioneer and Pathfinder through the Forest, which is nice. And and that's where the adventure started. So I went back to university, set up a little society called MADSOC. MAD stands for Make a Difference, and went from there. So yeah, the roots is a gap year, but the reason I took one is to get some space, get some perspective, get some reflection. And on the back of that, I decided to continue that and set up trips to let other students have that same experience.
And I know that now, today, you're doing trips all over the globe, both for colleges and also for corporate groups. I mean, I think, boy, in the last, year and a half or so, if I know some of your travels, Peru, Fiji, Thailand, Ghana, Tanzania, I think was where you were, and you were going to be going to Ghana before too long. So who goes on these trips and what's the goal of the trips?
I've specialized MAD to really focus on groups. So Fresno State sends two or three groups a year. So education groups is one part of it. The other part is corporate groups. The projects are very similar. So it's working on service projects. It's just different types of people doing it for different reasons. For students, it's linked with education, so you get a great out-of-classroom experience. For corporates, it's very much PR, CSR, giving back to communities, helping out or investing in the local community hubs that maybe their businesses are in. So yeah, it's done for different reasons, but they're the two big groups. And my aim is to get more, particularly US colleges and universities involved. It started off in Fresno, and the plan for the next few years is to go out there and use the case studies of all the projects that Fresno have done. And they've been to Ghana now, Tanzania and Fiji, and try and get other universities to do similar trips.
Yeah. So I know one of those companies that you work with, Siemens, kind of a big name. You take them on a corporate trip about every once a year. And like you say, a couple of college trips. I know you've worked with, I think it was another college out of Nebraska, and making some inroads with some other universities as well.
Yeah. Fresno is definitely, the regular loyal partnership. And I'm really thankful for Fresno State for continuing to do trips with MAD. The other sort of key partner is, yeah, Siemens. So their HQ is Germany, Munich. And what we do for those guys is take out their global leadership program. So their future CEOs, CFOs of the different Siemens businesses, because they're into everything, energy, medical equipment, you know, tech, all sorts of things. So it's getting to know their leaders, future leaders. So they're all in this department called Corporate Finance Audit for about 5 years. And for the past 5 years, I've took them to a different country each year, got to know them. I've been on those projects myself just because it's also good fun and it's a little bit different. And yeah, travel the world with those guys. So, and there's, you know, we're doing more and more each year with Siemens, but they're great. You know, they're loyal, just as loyal as Fresno State. So it's a good long-term sustainable partnership.
And I know our partnership with you, the university's partnership with you, started off in Fiji. And I know Fiji has a special place for you around the globe, all the places you've been. I know Fiji is one of those. And in particular, this little village called Nabutini in Fiji. And I'm wondering if you can tell us a little bit about how that relationship with this little tiny village out in the middle of nowhere and in Fiji came to be.
Yeah, there was one project leader called Lucy. So she was running projects on actually on a different island, on the southern island. And she went to Savu Savu, which is a little town near the village. Oh, well, I say near, probably 2 to 3 hours away. And got invited to go and visit and spend the weekend. So she went really just to have a look around. But they did say that they were after a community center because they overheard that she was doing volunteer projects. And the sort of projects we were doing in Fiji at the time was mainly sport. So we were taking out a lot of sports coaches, but it was onto the bigger island to work in the bigger schools. So it was the first time that we'd been invited by a different community in Fiji and a more sort of rural community to look at a project. And they made a food welcome. She had an amazing time. She approached the office back in Newcastle and with a project proposal, which was this community center build. And we said, yeah, let's try this. And that was probably 10 years ago now. And we've done a few projects there, maybe once a year, twice a year, we go back and do different things and, you know, chip away at the development program of what the chief wants and what the villagers want. And yeah, Lucy now is married to one of the guys from the village. So she's really sort of made an impact. And they now live back in London and she works for the Met Police. And Naka, her husband, is happily enjoying the sort of London life at the moment.
Yeah. Shout out to Lucy and to Naka, who I met when I was there, and great guy, and he really took care of us. And I know now you've had maybe 10 or 12 groups between Fresno's groups and other groups that have gone to Nabutini and to Fiji. And you mentioned a couple of the projects, like, for example, the community hall that it's called Madventure Hall. But there's been other projects there, too, the service piece. Can you talk about some of the other projects that you've been working on in the village?
Yeah, so the goal of MAD is education and health, so which really is a big, wide-ranging goal. So the sort of things we've done is water projects and helped sort of install water pipes and toilets, wash stations, so sanitation, helping out sanitation. We've worked with clinics. In the community hall, there is a room that is a clinic, so just bringing items and helping donate items. Anything that the community needs and wants that's to do with education and health, which, you know, there's lots to do and there'll be lots to do in other villages nearby. So, but Nabutini is a base now, more than a sort of where we do, you know, the infrastructure we've helped develop to its sort of max, really. So the village is great, but other villages need that sort of help. So Nabutini is our base, really, for working in those other villages now.
Mm. And I know when we talk about this village, what, maybe 80 to 100 people that live there, a couple hours down a dirt road outside of any kind of a major city, and very poor, very low income, very sustenance living. They, you know, they live off the sea and off of what they grow in their own little plots and whatnot. So when these groups come in, I'm sure it means a lot to them. And their community hall, I think, is a reflection of the great work that you've done there. Now, Kat, this is kind of where you came in. You went to Fiji for the first time as part of a small group, just with MAD and not through the university. And it was over the summer, correct?
Right.
And before we get into that experience, maybe we should allow you to just introduce yourself and maybe we'll celebrate your recent graduation and a few other little things. So tell us about yourself.
Chris, thank you so much for letting me be here today to talk about Fresno State and its partnership with MADventure. I personally have had such a great experience with the service learning and MADventure, and I wouldn't take that experience back for anything. As far as myself, I am a recent graduate from Fresno State, and I will be attending UCLA in the fall. So I'm just excited to move on, but hope that I can carry this service learning in my future career as a teacher.
Yeah. Number one, I think congratulations are in order, certainly. You know,
Thank you
graduating, and what a great thing, and now going to graduate school, and what a fantastic opportunity for you. But I think this was an opportunity that you really jumped on your own. What was it that made you want to go to Fiji? It wasn't a class. It wasn't, you weren't required to go. It was something you did all on your own.
Right. So Originally, the Fresno to Fiji trips were during the winter break only, and my family went to Hawaii every Christmas break or winter break, and so I wasn't able to go on the original Madventure trip to Fiji during the winter. And I was talking to all my Smit Camp Family Honors College friends who I was in the college with, and they all talked about their experience and their love for Fiji and how much they loved it and how much I had to go. And so I went on to Madventure's website and started to look up their different trips, and they had a trip during the summer. And so I signed up, and then I was off. So it was a little scary at first because there weren't too many of us, and it was my first time traveling so far on my own. And I remember the day before crying to my parents saying, you know what, I'm not going. I'm just way too scared. They said, you're going. And then when it came time to leave, I was crying because I didn't want to leave.
So you were crying when you left to go over there. I'll bet you were crying when you left to come home too.
Yeah.
What was that experience like for you? You were there for what?
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. Yeah. So I was there for 2 weeks. And, you know, they say you have culture shock when you go into a different culture. But really coming back to America, I had culture shock because I realized how rude sometimes Americans can be compared to all the nice and friendly people in Fiji. The village was so welcoming. And John was such a great person and connector to the village and just really made me feel at home there, as well as the villagers that were there. And it really was a wonderful experience being able to learn about such a different culture in such depth that I wouldn't have experienced traveling anywhere else or with any other group, I feel.
And I think for you, it was like a lot of people's experience. You know, you walk by the potato chip bowl and you say, oh, I'm just going to have one chip. And next thing you know, you're heading back to the bowl because you can't get enough. Now
right.
You've got that taste for it. And so you decided to go back and take a second trip and go back to Fiji. And why? What was it about that first experience that just compelled you to really want to go back?
Yeah, so my first experience was obviously, like I mentioned, just so amazing, and I fell in love with Fiji and the experience, and I really wanted other students to get that too. And I really wanted a summer trip, and I really wanted to connect my future career with it. And so I talked to John, and I was like, hey, how can we get into the schools here, and how can we possibly bring future teachers or students who are going to school to be teachers into the classrooms here in Fiji to experience what it's like in a different culture and what education looks like in a different country. And so John and I talked, and of course, Chris, you were a big help with that too. And we all gathered and said, okay, let's make a summer trip. And so we got some faculty, and then it just all started from there. And then I got to be a crew leader and student leader at first. And so those were great leadership opportunities that I got to have with this experience. And it really was just my love for Fiji and the love for service learning and that experience that I really wanted other students to be able to do as well.
Yeah, I think Fran Palmaville and Nan Barker were the two faculty that led that particular trip that you were on. But you mentioned this student leadership role that you had.
Right.
Tell us about that a little bit.
So every service learning trip to a different country, Fresno State has usually two. It can change from trip to trip or vary depending on the amount of students attending that trip. But usually there's about two student leaders that get to lead this group of students to the different country, and they get to lead all of their reflection. So these trips are service learning. And so Madventure kind of brings the service part of it, and the student leaders and faculty bring the learning part.
And that reflection piece that you talk about, you know, you go through your day, you're doing your service work, and at some point in time, you get the students together. And what kinds of things are you discussing with them, helping them digest and process what they're experiencing? But what are some of the things that you're talking about with the students when you're there?
Right. So every single day around right after mealtime, I believe it would be after dinner time, we would all say, okay, in a half hour, we'll all meet on the porch. And so there was a particular house that had a porch, and we would all gather there. And our goal was not to come with set questions as student leaders. We really wanted students that were attending the trip to come up with their own questions and ask each other and kind of get into small groups and discuss that. We did, of course, start with our own questions, like, okay, what did you think of today? Or if there was a specific thing that happened with the culture, maybe the food, really any kind of question that you can really just reflect on and have the students really think about what they're experiencing is kind of what we asked. And other students would feed off of that, and they would ask their own questions, and then students would answer those. So it really was just this really great experience to see students reflecting off of each other and bouncing ideas and thoughts back and forth. And then it would turn into, instead of answering questions, well, what can we do next? And, you know, how can we develop this village further and things like that? So it was great.
And I guess I'll ask you now what you see. Obviously, you had some significant learning experiences, but during those conversations, that porch time talk, the reflection activities, did you see students really grappling and processing that whole cultural experience and kind of figuring out new things for themselves as either individuals or groups? What was that process like?
Definitely. I think that coming from America, we're very technology driven, technology based. And so really having to remove yourself from your cell phone and TV was culture shock for them, and being able to see how much fun and how lively the village was without these things, and how much they connected with each other without those things was so amazing. And that's just one of the things that they learned culturally. There's obviously all the food and all the things that we have here, like running water consistently, that they don't have in the village, that really made every student sit there and think about, okay, well, maybe I should be more appreciative of this or that. And so that was really great. As far as my own learning, comparing my two trips, something that I really learned about myself was that I enjoy, or that I have a better experience feeding off of experience with other people than myself. So the first trip, there wasn't as many of us and I had a great time, but I noticed that when I went with a bigger group, that it was really awesome to see how other people interacted with the other villagers, and that just made my experience so much more enriching.
Yeah, you were able to learn from watching them and listening to their reflections, I'm sure.
Right.
Yeah. You know, John, you've been working in Abitini for all these years now, and you've taken hundreds of people there. And like we talked about, it's a very small, poor village. And, you know, it can't be easy for a village like this to host these groups, right? I mean, there's families that actually move out of their house so these groups can go in and stay in their house, and they cook and they cook and they cook and they cook these huge, for them, really extravagant meals. And, you know, that's a big investment. It's a lot of trouble for them to host one of these college groups. So why? What's in it for them?
Yeah, good question. I mean, I see the projects as events. So, you know, every town, you know, has, and villages have events. And we, you know, we've almost formed an annual part of a celebration of a different kind now. So, yeah, 2 weeks where families sort of shuffle around and maybe move into the aunts next door, and that sort of thing happens. But it's a great way for me, it's almost on a big scale. It's, you know, it's peace building. It's getting communities to live together, tackle a common goal, and each project has a specific focus. And it brings investment into the community, you know, money gets pumped in, materials get bought, food gets bought. So, you know, it's a good enabler, really. And the best thing about the projects is people talking to each other in grog time on a night, you know, sitting in the community hall, exchanging stories, singing together. And it's entertaining. You know, everybody has a great time. At the end of it, it's a win-win situation. So I use the phrase developing together, which sort of sums it up, which is, you know, that both parties have to get something out of it. The community wouldn't entertain the idea of having any groups in if there wasn't value in it. So to them, it's an event, which brings the community together as well, you know, because they get the tools out, they start sawing away. And so, you know, we're a catalyst for community work that gets the community sort of working together and getting them talking to each other as well.
One specific thing that I want to talk about as far as skills or ways that the community is, what they're gaining from this experience, is definitely the skills of the people that come in. So not only do we bring faculty in, but sometimes we bring professionals out in certain fields on these trips. For my trip specifically, we brought Dave Palmaville, who was a public health specialist here in Fresno County. And we brought him on our trip, and he was able to help the villagers learn about water safety and how to build a project to bring water down to the village. And we, of course, learned great skills from them, how to carry some heavy stuff. But on top of that, they were able to learn some skills from us and some professional things that they wouldn't have learned without us. So, yeah.
And I think they're very proud of their community. They're very proud of their culture, and they love sharing it. And they are very hospitable people. They love to host other groups and to share their culture, and then to learn about the U.S. culture through our students. And I think that one of the things that I saw, John, and I'd love for you to talk about, because you mentioned it before, that now Nabutini has become sort of a base for these groups that you take out, that MAD takes out. And now there are other service projects happening in other villages. For example, the stuff with the clinic or with the school. Can you talk about some of those other projects and how they benefit larger sections of the island?
So next to Nabutini, there's five close by villages that are on the same stretch of land. And really all the families are linked. You know, there's cousins, brothers, sisters, all that live and spread out on those different villages. And each village has got its own needs and wants in terms of development. But they've seen the community hall in Nabutini, you know, rise up from the ground, and all the sort of benefits of what these projects have brought, and having, you know, having visitors in there for a couple of weeks each year. And, you know, they want it. So the plan is, you know, I did a scoping visit a couple of years ago where I popped around and visited all the different chiefs and really got a bit of a wish list of things that were important and, you know, what a little bit of money would do and how it would be spent in the community. You know, community halls is one big thing. There's, you know, helping out the schools, a little bit of renovation work. Health toilets, public toilets, you know, toilets for the community halls. There's lots to do. So the next project will be to work on another community hall, which is in the Wariandru, which is the village along. But there's plenty of scope. There's a big to-do list. You know, we could be there for 10 years and, you know, keep adding to the list. So in terms of projects, yes, it's unlimited.
Yeah. So Kat, I know you were involved in a pretty special project that engaged elementary and high school students from here in Fresno with the kids in Fiji. Can you tell us a little about that?
Yeah, definitely. So just a little background. My career goal, I guess, is to be a future educator within the elementary school at first, and then we'll see what happens later on. But I kind of wanted to tie in my future education or future career, like I said before, with this trip. And so I came to the Janet Bud Richter Center and I applied for a grant that I was blessed to have fund. And so I got to work with students here locally to have some service learning within the classroom and bring that abroad to Fiji. And so students within the Eaton Elementary School in a third grade class, they went ahead and created the storyline with their teacher. Each student was kind of designated a time slot of the day and came up with a sentence that kind of would describe that kind of day. And they all together came up with this story about the typical day of an American third grader. And then my mom's high school art class at Hoover High School here in Fresno illustrated that story. And so I got to bring those two classes and two different levels of schooling or education together, and then have a book that was printed, or actually a class set of books that was printed. And then we took those to Fiji and delivered them to a third, fourth combo class in the local school over there in Fiji.
Yeah, it was such a great project because you get this wonderful sharing between the elementary and high school students here in Fresno with the third and fourth graders in Fiji. And I know there were some pictures, and we'll try to post some of those up, of, you know, these kids with their new books that you created, and which was just great.
It was. And even further from that, the students in the third grade classroom here in Fresno wrote a letter to the students in Fiji. So each book came with a letter, and then the students in Fiji got to have the opportunity to write a letter back. And I had envelopes with the kids' names and stamps on them ready to go. So as soon as I got back into town, I just put those in the mail and they got to go back. So they got to create kind of like a pen pal or relationship with them abroad, not only just give them the books.
Yeah. I know, John, you mentioned it already. There's a couple of other trips that are being planned right now from Fresno, both of them in January of 2018. One group's going to Ghana and one's going back to Fiji. Do you want to talk about those trips a little bit? I mean, if someone's listening and they want to support the students who attend, or if there's a student who wants to attend, or if somebody wants to just work through you to support some of this international service, how would they get more information? Who would they contact? How would they contact?
Yeah, they can go through the MadVenture website and all the contact information there's there. I mean, the trips that are going in at wintertime, there's one going to Ghana, and that's a Ghana Cocoa project. So that's led by Professor Levi at Agriculture Business.
Annette Levi.
So she's bringing that together. And there's, at the moment, there's about 20 students. There's a room for a few more if anybody is interested in joining that. And that's going and spending time with the farmers, developing the cocoa industry, interviewing the farmers, getting their hands dirty and, you know, in the cocoa farms, and taking that project to the next level, you know, researching fair trade, speaking to fair trade organizations. So it's a really good sort of, you know, income generation, real life development project. In Fiji, it's health and nursing. So Professor Rindall.
Yeah, Kathy Rindall, yeah, and so, Stephanie Moore Reed.
Yeah, so they're going, they're leading a group of mainly nursing students and medical related students to go and work in several clinics and get involved in some outreach programs in the villages. So, you know, again, it's out of classroom learning. So it's very much related to those degree programs. And that, I'm sure there's a couple of spaces there if somebody interested in those or with a background in that study area wanted to join. There is talk of another project with Fresno State next summer going to either Ghana or Fiji, and that's going to be linked with child education. So keep your eyes out for that one, or ears open, and we'll pass that information on soon.
Maybe we'll get some UCLA grad student to come back and help lead that. What do you think, Kat? Do we know anybody who might be able to do that?
I might be interested as long as my schedule allows.
Yeah. Kat, what would you tell a student, kind of your parting words, if there's a student out there who's listening, why should they go on an international service learning trip?
Why not is the actual question. There's so many benefits to service learning, and not only service learning, but international service learning. You get to study abroad, which everyone tells you when you're in college that you should study abroad. But this is a way better way to study abroad, at least I like to say. You get to get community service hours, which are always great on a resume, or you can use it for a class. You can get class credit for it. I believe every single one of our service learning trips, you get course credit for, and you don't have to do a whole lot of work for it, except for the community service. But you get to learn through that, and you get to volunteer. And so that's a really great experience. Not only are you studying abroad and get to experience a different country and different culture, but you get to experience that at a more depth level, at least from what I think. So it really is all encompassing. You get to get your community service hours, you get college credit, you get to study abroad, you get to experience a different country and culture, different foods. And on top of that, you get to have a fun time, maybe go fishing with the men from the village or ride a horse without a saddle or go on a hike. And there's so many fun things that you get to do with it and so many relationships that you get to create with not only the place that you're visiting, but with the people that you are going on this trip with. And then there's a connection for you when you come back to school, come back to Fresno State, and you have another friend here.
Yeah. Kind of to wrap things up, I know one of the students who went on the very first trip, Ryan Briscoe, when he came back, I was talking with Ryan about it, and he said how this was such an epitome of international service learning. Here, you have a UK-based organization, MadVenture, working with a college in California, sending students to Fiji or Tanzania or Ghana or who knows where else in the future. And that pretty much touches on most of the corners of the globe. And then you look at a project like CATS, where you engage elementary and high school students from Fresno working with kids in Fiji. I just think that those are really impressive projects. And I'm so happy that MadVenture is a partner with Fresno State, John. And I thank you for all the time and the work that you spend working with us on those things.
No, that's great, Chris. And, you know, it's really nice to hear those words. And, you know, it's definitely a sustainable two-way partnership. And, you know, I love Fresno to bits, love Fresno State for, you know, for keeping that partnership strong and being loyal to the projects and all that ongoing support. So, yeah, no, I'm, you know, and long live those projects and that partnership.
And Kat, I mean, thank you for your leadership and your involvement. And you've been a big steward and a role model for these kinds of projects. And really appreciate that as well. And thanks for being here today with us.
Of course, glad to be here.
So once again, our time is up. And I do want to thank John Lawler of MadVenture and Kathleen Fagundes for being our guests today. And to all our listeners, thanks again for joining us. Please tune in again next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for another Fresno State Service in Action program on KFSR. And also, don't forget, like us on Facebook at FS Service in Action. We're on the air at 90.7 FM and streaming worldwide at www.kfsr.org. Thanks and have a great day.
KFSR presents Fresno State Service in Action every Sunday morning at 11. For a complete program schedule, visit kfsr.org.